GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hale Rick Tyler Show with a fellow from the Amira Astronomy Center at the University of Maine Orono. And the reason I clearly point out it's at the University of Maine Orono is this text message that came in when we told people that Sean Latch would be on the radio. This person writes to us, Sean, "I'd like to bring my kid to the Astrology Center in Bangor. What is something we can expect? Is there tours or anything like that there?" I wrote back to them that the Emira Astronomy Center is at the University of Maine in Orono. The Challenger Learning Center is off Main Avenue in Bangor. Do people sometimes confuse the two?
Usually not, because we do dramatically different things. Challenger occasionally will have some public things, but usually they're really mission-driven for working with student groups. We have a lot of partnerships with them where, you know, student groups will go to Challenger and then come to us.
Yeah.
But they don't do like the regular, you know, as much regular public programming like we do, because we do the regular, you know, Friday night shows and Sunday afternoon children's programs.
Well, if you're going to do astrology, would you tell me what my future is here?
Oh, gee.
Could you tell me who the, you know, I just the Red Sox are going to do?
I just presented at the Bangor Public Library this past weekend for Humanities Day, and I actually had a whole conversation about the fact of how the stars will not influence your daily life and you know, and all the errors in astrology.
Wasn't it a couple of years ago that they came out with a realization that they were off a couple of degrees? So what you thought was Aquarius was actually like over here. So the dates of your birth were off a little bit because things have changed now.
Yeah, that's actually one of the arguments whenever I'm talking about, you know, astronomy and astrology. So the astrology system, you know, astronomy and astrology were one and the same long ago because people, you know, didn't know better. But at the time, you know, 4,000 years ago,
we didn't know better.
Well, we didn't. I mean, you know, people looked at the sky. They had limited information, whatever, but they thought the Earth was the center of the universe. And so 4,000 years ago, when the Zoroastrians, you know, developed the astrology system that's sort of used in the West, if you will, you know, the sun was in a certain place during a certain month, or appeared to be. And again, it's actually Earth's motion. But over time, the Earth wobbles on its axis. So things have changed. So right now, the horoscopes you read in the paper, yeah, you're about one full sun sign off, not to mention the fact that the sun doesn't take an equal amount of days. There's a 13th constellation in there it passes through, and the planets aren't gods and goddesses. We, you know, now know they're physical objects and things of that nature. But anyway,
you're shaking some people to their core right now just by saying that.
Well, you've just knocked a whole bunch of stuff out of there.
Oh. Heaven forbid, science,
or
reality.
Heavens forbid.
Right, heavens forbid, science, reality. We don't want that. Yeah,
don't go to science. That'll screw everything up.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, listen, it is February.
It is February.
We're having an unusual January. Now we go into February, and Venus is kind of bright in the sky.
Yeah, Venus has been getting higher and higher in the evening sky over in the southwest. And actually, over the next week, towards the end of this upcoming week and early into next week, you're going to have a chance to see Mercury join it as well. So it's a really good time to check it out. And Venus, of course, is, you know, the third brightest object we see in the night sky. A lot of folks will call the planetarium wondering about UFOs when that's in the sky, but it is not. It's, you know, just our one of our near celestial neighbors.
Third brightest in the night sky?
It's the third brightest object we see in the sky, period. So you have the sun, the moon, then Venus,
then Venus.
Jupiter's fourth, things like that. Mm-hmm.
Somebody said if I put my hand up outside and I put my thumb on Venus, my pinky will be on Mercury. And I can spot it there. Is it that close?
It depends. So it's going to change its position each day. But yeah, sometimes you can use your hand as a measuring tool, if you will. And Venus, of course, gets relatively high above our horizon. Mercury doesn't because it's so close to the sun. But around the 13th of this month or so, it's going to be at its greatest elongation, which means it's highest above the horizon. And it will be about 18 degrees above the horizon at that point, which is roughly two fists, or if you stretch your thumb and pinky as far apart as you can. So
that's on February 20th. Right.
All right, Bob sends us a note here. Ask him, is Mercury retrograde a real thing?
No. So no, not in that, you know, so the planets that we consider to really go through retrograde are going to be the outer planets. And basically what retrograde motion means is it slows down, stops, and appears to go backwards. And our planet overtakes it in the orbit. Now, Mercury and Venus, they will go up, they'll go as far as they can. And then, of course, they will go back down, but they're not going to sort of do that looping motion that we see with the outer planets like Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and so on.
Okay. Now we know.
Now yes. We know. So we know. We've got exciting...
Planets don't go backwards.
No.
Unless it's that first Superman movie in which he flew so backwards that he made time go backwards.
Yes.
At that point in time, my suspension of disbelief was impossible.
Gotcha.
That's the great thing about your job. It's something new all the time.
Like Texas-sized sun.
Yeah,
pools
right. So this is this is something that while I was out in Hawaii, they were building, and it's finally come online, the Daniel K. Inouye solar telescope, and it's been looking at the sun. It's given us a better view than we've had before. In fact, it was able to resolve sort of these granules, which are basically the surface of the sun with a bubbling motion of the hydrogen as it's going through that, and basically they're the size of Texas, which is the finest resolution we've ever had of the surface of the sun. Also last, a little over a week ago, the Parker Solar Probe made its closest approach to the sun in its most recent orbit. It's going to be making a few more close approaches and some that are even closer than this last one. But we're really starting to learn a lot about our own star in a different way. And we know, of course, that it's very important to our existence here. So it's well worth studying.
You think?
Yeah. You know.
If you don't think so, wait 8 minutes and after
right,
it's out,
right,
see how you
exactly.
feel.
Exactly.
I read something that's kind of wild to me this week, but I never thought of it. You've got the SpaceX and you have OneWeb. They put a lot of satellites up in here.
Yeah, too many.
And the astronomers in Europe met with them recently. Mm-hmm. And the reason that they met with them, because they were putting there are so many satellites up there that now as we observe the heavens, you're getting streaks in your pictures.
Yeah.
And the satellites are causing people like you who study the stars causing problems.
Yeah, there's a few too many. I mean, you know, it's an issue where actually the International Astronomical Union did put out a statement about it because it is a problem. These satellites are, you know, providing internet service, but with too many of them, they actually do create a problem for astronomical observatories, not just European ones, but all over the globe. And it is a serious concern as well, you know, that there are all these satellites now and they've launched, you know, they launched the first set, I think it was 60, and then they did another recent launch. Which is, you know, going to be a problem long term. If we continue to do this, it's going to, you know, be a bigger and bigger problem. So it's one of the things that, you know, the IAU, you know, has been trying to talk with SpaceX and some of the others to say, you know, to make them think about this. Because again, you know, trying to study our heavens and understanding our place in it is pretty important. Unless we want to go the way of the dinosaurs, you know, like from things like that. So
you think too much space junk is going to cause us to we're going to cause ourselves to go extinct because of too much space junk?
Well, I wouldn't say we're going to cause ourselves to go extinct because of space junk, but if we can't study the heavens in a good way, we might not see that next asteroid.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm tracking with Sean Latch from the Emira Astronomy Center and the Maynard F. Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine. Out of this world happenings, I saw the news release about, is it Ozzy Osbourne? Is that one of the next music shows?
Yeah, so, you know, this is one of the great things. George, his favorite performer is going to be doing our next music show. So Ozzy Osbourne Satellites
is
starting in February.
All aboard.
Bites the head off snakes or something?
Bats.
I think it was bats, yeah.
Bats.
Yeah, something
okay.
like that.
Bats.
So yeah, one of our grad students is going to do Ozzy. We just finished up Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
Did the kids pack the hall for that one?
Oh, the kids and adults. I mean, folks really like that. In fact, last month, our Aurora show, we sold out 4 of 5 weekends and added second shows that were close. In fact, this last one on Friday, we had 2 sellout shows in a row of that. Really did well.
Are you a nonprofit?
So yes, we are. Yes. We're a nonprofit and we're cost recovery. So those things really help because it costs more for me to bring it in some cases than I can make back on tickets. So
I was going to
really
say, you better be careful with these big shows or like they're going to start. This is like that scene from Ghostbusters. I've been in the private sector. They expect results. You got to be careful.
Yeah. No, we're in one of those situations where you have to earn our own keep, and it's but that's a good thing in my mind. And you know, we're this last month was really good for us. This month we have Ozzy Osbourne. We have To Space and Back, which takes a look at the benefits of space technology that we use in our everyday lives, and also the way University of Maine is involved in space research. And that program in particular, I think, is really good because folks often don't think about the fact that a lot of the things we use, whether it be even, you know, helmets that protect us, you know, or fire retardant materials, or a whole variety of plastics that we use in surgery come from the space program.
Plastics.
Yeah, well, plastics.
Plastics.
Good. Yep, things like that.
It's a good reference to The Graduate there for those who weren't tracking.
So, but
go ahead.
It is. So this upcoming month we start again Friday night. We'll have To Space and Back. We'll have Ozzy Osbourne, and then our children's show this month is Seeker of the Cardboard Rocket, where you can take, of course, a tour of the solar system. And we do have programs for the upcoming K-12 break as well. So we have different shows each day for that.
On social media this past week, everybody. Many people were putting up this picture of the sun from the Inouye Solar Telescope.
Yes, yeah.
And it was the highest resolution of the sun's surface ever taken.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It looks like a bowl of, not Cheerios, but some kind of breakfast cereal. In a bowl. There are cell light structures about the size of Texas.
Right. These are those granulations,
Why is it taking so long for us to we didn't have the ability to see? I mean, it's really strange to look at. It looks weird to the non-trained eye if you look at this picture.
Yeah, so it's basically looking at the way the sun makes its energy. You know, it turns hydrogen into helium at the core, and then that energy bubbles up and it causes these granulations on the surface of the sun. We haven't had the technology to look at the sun this close before. And one of the other things that this telescope, can do is also view the corona of the sun, which is very important as well, because in the past, the only time we could see that was during a solar eclipse. But this telescope has some new technologies which will allow it to study the corona and actually study, magnetic, the magnetic field lines of the sun in a new way as well. So it's really going to give us a better understanding of our home star. And, the sun, of course, and it sort of ties into last month's show, but basically when we have releases of solar energy, that's what creates the aurora borealis that we do see here in Maine on occasion. And, occasionally they can be viewed farther south as well.
So someone sends a note here. You can see Venus in daytime if you know where to look.
Yes.
You can?
Yes. Yeah, it's bright enough to do so. Now, you typically, most folks will try to do so in such a way where you're kind of behind a building so you can block out the sun a little bit, because the sun, of course, makes it so bright. But yes, you can see it during the daytime. It is that bright.
Wow.
But it's, but again, it's not like it's real obvious. You have to get out of the glare of the sun to see it.
Isn't that called indirect observation?
It's sort of like an indirect, but
indirect,
I mean, you are seeing it. You're sort of making sure that the glare of the sun doesn't, get in the way. But a lot of folks, there are sometimes where we're doing, telescopes for, special events, where if we're doing solar viewing and if Venus is in the right place, we'll also, try and swing around and catch Venus.
You know who taught me indirect observation?
Neil Cummins?
Yeah, boom! There you go! Professor Neil Cummins for the win. And I had the little game that he made with the cards and everything.
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah,
there was a midterm and a final I look forward to taking.
Yeah.
I've always liked reading about the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So this picture that I talked about this week was fascinating to me.
Yeah.
The sun, which is a giant nuclear reactor, is what it is.
Yeah, basically you're turning hydrogen to helium, and it's a perfectly pure and clean source of energy, because all you get is light and heat as byproducts.
Now, why can't we have that down here?
Well, we need containment for 27 million degrees Fahrenheit, so if you can do that.
And there's the premise for the second Spider-Man movie with Doc
go.
Ock.
There you go.
Remember? Right?
Billion
years.
5 billion years.
Should be another 5 billion, so
we'll
be good.
We'll figure it out next. We'll get around to
it. We'll get around to it.
Sean Latch, where do we find you online, buddy?
astro.umaine.edu.
Astronomy on the Radio, courtesy of Sean Latch of the Amira Astronomy Center on the George Hale Rick Tyler Show. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.